Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 17. Luke 17. I want to begin at verse 12 as a text. Luke 17, verse 11, actually. 17:11 says, "It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." You know, a lot of times things happen in the ministry of Jesus while he was on the way. There would always be certain things happening at his destination, but many times just on the way. You know, we want to learn from that and be ready at all times while we're on the way somewhere. You could be driving to work and there's an accident and you're the only one, or maybe you're the first one there, or the only one who knows to pray a prayer of faith. Could make a difference in someone's life. But along the way, he encounters a certain village. He comes to a village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers that stood afar off. Now, the reason they stood afar off, they were not allowed to come near people. As part of being a leper, you were quarantined. And they dealt with rejection, the spirit of rejection. They lifted up their voice and said, "Jesus!" I just picture, so they're yelling from one hillside to the other. They heard he was passing through. Now, undoubtedly, they also heard of someone like the leper who Jesus said, "I will heal you," and healed him. You know, word travels. And it probably got around, and they heard about this Jesus. He's healed lepers. So they heard he's passing through their area, and they cry out to God. They had their opportunity, and they seized upon it. Now, life's filled with opportunities. Sometimes, you know, there's some that are very profitable and good, and some maybe not. But we want to train ourselves to see the opportunity that's at hand. I look back over my life, and I see so many times that, wow, I could have bought this piece of land. I remember back around 1975 or 76, I saw numerous parcels, like 10-acre parcels, partly tillable, partly wooded, for $15,000. And I didn't have the really the insight or the courage, nor the money, to step out and do that. But that was a lot of money back then. That might have been a year's wage, maybe. But still, you know, to get 10 acres of land, I mean, now one such acre would probably be worth $30,000 or $40,000 easily. And there's opportunities. And then a few years go by, I say, oh, man, I wish I would have got that. I wish I would have done this. Well, then there's opportunities in spirit to possibly witness to someone, and you didn't. And that bothers me, especially if I find later, oh, wow, you know, they were in dire straits, and I didn't say anything. Ah, you know, it's like, Lord, help me. So we want to train ourselves. It's just a habit we should develop. There's a lot of habits we need to develop. Keep a keen eye and ear open for opportunities. So here's an opportunity. The master's coming by, and they're not going to miss this because they have no hope, and they begin screaming out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And he saw them, and he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." Now, the reason he said that, what he was saying is, you're healed. Because for a leper, if they were healed, they had to present themselves to the priest who would confirm, yes, you are healed and free from leprosy. And then at their authorization, they could go back out in public once again. So when he said, "Go show yourself to the priest," they knew what he was saying, you're healed. So it came to pass as they went, notice it wasn't the moment he said it, but as they began to act on that word, as they went. Sometimes healing is going to come based on a word of wisdom, a word from the Lord where he says, do something, and as you obey that, then when the manifestation comes. That's one of the ways, one of various ways, where the healing power of God may manifest. So he told them, go show yourself to the priest. In other words, you're healed. And as they began to obey that word, their skin was changed. Their skin was cleansed, because leprosy would eat your skin away. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, and it might have been hot, and he might have had a short sleeve shirt on, or maybe he had it covered up, maybe it was even on his hands, and he saw, he's probably like, I'm healed. Leprosy's gone. My skin's like a baby's. It says here, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He wasn't whispering the praises to the Lord. He had great joy because this disease was killing him, literally. A slow, torturous death, his skin being eaten away. And he sees he's completely healed and with a loud voice because he is excited. Now, some people are more excitable than others. And that's a lot to do with personalities. I'm a very low-key, even-keeled personality. And I'm probably at my emotional peak when I come here and worship the Lord. That's about the most emotional you'll see me. My wife could attest to that. And some people, it doesn't take anything. And they're, like, say my granddaughters, they're screaming, wow, and they're having fun, wow. We took them to a Dutch Wonderland last week. Not this week, but the week before. We try to do that every summer and have fun. And they like to get in the, I don't know what they call it, the log plume or whatever, ride. It's water and it looks like a log. It's not a log. And you come up, you can't see, and you're coming up and you dive down. And they have a camera there to take a picture. Maybe some of you might have seen this picture. And Marissa has this huge, ear-to-ear grin. And Sophie and Donna have their mouth wide open screaming. And then there's me. And, I'm just intently looking, watching this, okay? And my wife says, you look the same as you did last year. It's the same expression. Can't you do a different expression? Well, I was into it. It's just I didn't have ear to ear grin, and I wasn't screaming. And she showed it to somebody here, and they said, who is the kid that was with you in the picture? So I said, praise the Lord, if you think I'm a kid. I won't identify who said that because I don't embarrass anyone. But I still laugh about that. I'll say to Donna, because she has it posted up on her in her kitchen. Who's the kid up there, Donna? I think it's just because I had a baseball hat turned backwards. Okay. as you increase in your years on the earth, it's always like a compliment when you hear something like this. So many things I look like a kid, praise the Lord. When you're 16 years old, you want to think you look like some 35-year-old man. And when you're 60-some years old, someone says, who's the kid? It's like, praise the Lord, You probably didn't have her glasses on, but I'll take it anyway. Oh, my. But my point is, some personalities, might react emotionally more so than others or quicker. And it's no right or wrong in that. It's just how God makes us to be. But when you're dying, and the Lord does a miracle, or here are the gifts of healing in operation, even someone like me might begin to yell and scream. So again, like coming to worship, for me, that's and where God's called me with the people He's called me to. It's a high point of my week. I yearn for that. I look forward to that, and thus I look forward to going to heaven. Some people might love this world so much, kind of sad to leave. They don't want to go. Lord, when you're done with me here, beam me up. I'm all ready. And if you don't really like worship, you won't like heaven too much. Well, you'll get on to it. But we can have, Jesus said, pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And in heaven, everything is glorifying God. So to get into the flow of things, we learn to get into that praise and worship flow in our lifestyle as a habit. And that's largely what I'll be addressing in this time together. So here this guy, he turns back to Jesus with a loud voice, is giving glory to God because he is set free from the torment of this disease of leprosy. Yes. And he falls on his face at his feet giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He had so much gratitude that he turns back. Now, it may be the others, or some of them, may have been so excited, I can go back home. I can go back to my family. I can go back to, you know, my friends, my family, and everyone. And it may be what they would now partake of in the natural was stronger than the reality of the one who did this for them. That may be what was in them. I don't want to take a position in looking at the other nine necessarily like evil, but they were not acknowledging the greater thing. See, there's a lot of things we can do in life that aren't necessarily morally wrong or whatever, but they're not of a higher value. They're not the greater thing. So we want to, you know, learn to do that. So it's probable that they just want to get back home. They're probably dreaming of that. The day they can go back and say it was a man to go back, be with his wife, or maybe it was a woman to be back with her husband or children, yearning for that. But this one guy, he was so stricken with gratitude, he has to first go back to Jesus and give glory to God for that healing. And Jesus answered him, and he spoke to him, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Everyone should have came back to him right away. That's obvious there. They should have come back to him. Where is everyone? There are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. Now, him being a Samaritan, and the word stranger is a word where they would use someone that's of another nation or another tribe or another people. They're not part of the nation of Israel. They're of another people. So you would think the ones that were children of, or you know, the tribe of Israel, that they would know. They would know better. You know, sometimes you think some people should know better about things. Well, they should know better and do that. You know, there's a lot of people, maybe they didn't have the same training you did, the same upbringing. And the reality is they don't know any better. And sometimes you can kind of, okay, I'll dismiss that. But in some cases, it's offensive. You know, when people do certain things, and they should have known better. And Jesus addressed this. Where are there 9? They should have returned to give glory to God. So he says, arise. Go your way, your faith made you whole. Now, it's possible that this might be the only person who actually had faith in the Lord to do this, and the others were just present when the manifestation of the gift of healing was there for the leprosy. That's a very likely scenario. Sometimes people, you know, like say if we were farmers, and we're praying for rain, which I don't think any of them are doing that, so I'm praying it won't rain this afternoon. It can rain tonight all at once, just not this afternoon. But if we're praying for rain, and you're a godly man or woman, and you have a farm, and rain moves in, everybody else gets rain on their crops too. Now you take that thought and carry it forward, and let's say you work at a certain place of employment, and you're a tither, and you're believing the windows of heaven be open for you, that business can get blessed because of you. And we should be believing for that, not allow the sin of envy to be there. That rich owner, he's greedy. You know, love would say, Lord, bless him. And Lord, change his heart, too, that he'll let a little a little bit go our way as employees. But sometimes people, they're cursing the very avenue God would use to bring blessing to them. You know, in other words, they're cursing that out of their sin of envy. So that's, you know, so sometimes the blessing gets poured out on people that are just simply with someone who's actually in faith. Now, on the other side of that coin, if you're with people in sin and their sin's creating a certain crisis or catastrophe, you being with them could cause great damage to you. There was a young lady that had been recently saved, and she wanted my wife to mentor her. And my wife knew their family and was spending a little bit of time with her. But she didn't separate herself from people that she should have yet as a young believer. And she ended up killed in a car accident because the boyfriend of her girlfriend, you know, four of them were in the car, and he was drinking and driving, and he crashed. And she didn't have a seatbelt on. She was on the phone with her mother or sister, one of them, while it happened. Imagine that. And simply, her life was destroyed because she was with people she shouldn't have been with. And thus, and she knew better, thus the protection wasn't there. I said, that's not right. Well, it is what it is. Don't be saying God's not just, because he is just. God's just. But the thing is, we need to walk in the light that we have, and we can position ourselves where because of someone else's sin, it comes upon us. Now, when you're part of any group, whatever happens can affect a whole group. Being a part of a nation, the United States of America, we're citizens. What the people in authority, the decisions they make affect all of us. I thank God for President Donald Trump. We did not elect a pastor. Because get that out of your head if it's still there. But the man had the guts to stand up to political establishment and bring some changes, and it's boosting our economy and a whole lot of other things. He needs a lot of prayer. Not just him, the whole way down the line. Because what happens to those with authority is going to affect all of us. And we can't so easily get out of that reality. Someone say, well, I'll move to Canada. Then the leaders in Canada, their decisions are going to affect you. Well, I'll move to some island in the Pacific. Well, then the leaders of that. Or some conquering country, it says, that island belongs to us now. And you're now our slaves. Okay, so principle here is you may be around people and what's working of God in them, you can benefit, or what's working sin-wise, you're going to suffer. But in any case, the one man, it was his faith. Jesus said so. Your faith made you whole. Yes. And that was very strengthening to him. I believe that went into his spirit. You know, there are some truths when they are spoken, it goes into your spirit. I could name off, and I do this when I'm preaching, a certain time, a certain truth was revealed to me and it went into my spirit. It may have been when I was just reading the word or when someone else was preaching and something went into me and it's a part of me. And that went into him. Your faith made you whole. I'm sure that guy, I mean, he just stood up a little taller. Praise God. God loves me. That's right. My faith worked here. He probably was ready to take on anything after that. But it was in the mind of the Lord, they all should have returned and give praise to him, in the mind of the Lord. And we have to recognize here, like, who is the source? Because in giving praise and in giving thanksgiving, I mean, you do it wherever blessing comes, but if someone is our source, that should be continual. God is our source. We live because of him. Now, this man realized he was dying of leprosy, and he owes his very existence from this point on to the Lord Jesus. he returns. This overrode his desire to go back home and be with his family and eat this awesome meal. It overrode all of that because the Lord gave me life. And for us, as we recognize the Lord as my source of salvation, deliverance from the torment of devils, freedom from the guilt of sin, the one who's brought joy and peace into my heart, as we realize it's him, well, then we should have a heart, if we see it's him, a heart to want, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. This guy went so far, he's down on his face, right at his feet. And it may be he was even kissing his feet. You know, it says in Isaiah, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. I remember a first time to India in 1981, and we were staying in an orphanage, and there's huge meetings. There was 10,000 every three times a day. And we were praying for lots of people. One morning, I just walked out of the orphanage, and some woman threw herself at my feet. And I still remember I had these blue with white stripes Adidas sneakers. They probably stunk, okay? Because, you know, you're there sweating and everything. And this woman throws herself down, is kissing those blue Adidas dirty sneakers, walking in, you know, dusty, dirty and all that. And I'm like in shock. What is she doing? Stop, stop, stop. And I realized she couldn't speak any English. I had no idea what she was saying. But the Lord must have healed her. And she was so grateful. She wanted to say thank you in how she knew how. And like I say, I was shocked because we're refined. You know, we don't do that. We say, thank you very much, sir. Yeah, we're a little more refined here. But in some cultures, their emotions are going to go wild one way or the other, and they will be more inclined to express in that way. Now, the issue is not in how you're expressing. The issue is that you're just doing it. You know what they say with the Brits, stiff upper lip. I don't know. I don't really have worship times with them, but I don't know if maybe they praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be critical of that. Maybe that's wound up for them. I don't know. You know, so it's not about your mannerism. It's about the heart. And the heart of gratitude is so important. And with everything we see as good, and it's coming our way, we should have the heart and the motivation to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And where you give thanks, and when you give thanks, you're operating in appreciation, which means that the person it came through and the thing it was given itself increases in value in your eyes. So as we return every week corporately and thank the Lord, and hopefully daily on your own as well, we're looking at, Lord, you're my source of life. You've blessed me, you've forgiven me, you've healed me. And the more we practice the giving of thanks, he becomes more valuable to us. And a principle is you will give yourself to that which has value. If you begin to view something as no value, you're not going to apply yourself. Not unless there's some force exerted on you. But when you see something has value, oh, you'll give yourself to this. So as we see the value of the Lord, and we keep that not only alive, but we increase it by thanking him for what he's done, the natural reaction response is we're giving ourselves to him. Now, those of you that are married, it's a simple principle. It will benefit your marriage. And that is to express thankfulness for whatever they do. I mean, my wife could make a grilled cheese sandwich and I'll be thanking her. She could pour soup out of a can. Tomato soup or something. I mean, that's not like what we eat normally, but I'm just saying something that would be viewed as simple and not, great cuisine of the West. A grilled cheese sandwich and tomato soup out of a can. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you don't do that, you begin to take that person for granted. You just expect it. So then you don't get something you want. Now you're offended because they should just be doing this for me. But even for the simple things, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, how simple was that? Two words. But in the expression of the thankful heart, what it's doing is ascribing value to the person blessing you and the very thing they're doing. And we want it to be a habit in our daily life, not just something you do once in a while. Same like telling someone you love them. You don't, well, I said it the day we got married. What's your problem? Did you forget? No, to speak words minister life or death. So we want to continue to sow into relationships. So again, within a marriage, be thankful. We're married to the Lord. Corporately, we're the bride of Christ, the Bible says. And we should be expressing that thankfulness to him every day. Thank you, Lord, I'm alive. Thank you, Lord, I'm saved. And it just increases. Sometimes you might encounter someone and they talk in a way like sort of negative about their spouse or their pastor or whatever. And you think, what's their problem? Seems like a nice man to me or a nice woman to me. What's their problem? You know, and someone could do like a lot of just awesome stuff, but if all you do is look at their faults, that's how you see them. But in the practice of being thankful, again, we're ascribing that value. So the power of praise, really is my title here, but for one thing, it keeps your heart and your focus on the Lord, that he continue to be seen as your God, your very source of life. I want to go to Psalm 92. Talk about praise. We have to go to one of the Psalms, right? Well, there's plenty of them that speak to this. But Psalm 92, and in the footnote at the beginning, it says, a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Yeah, it's good to recognize what good things are. It's a good thing you took a shower this morning or a bath or whatever you do. It's a good thing that you ate a nice breakfast. It's a good thing you got sleep last night. You didn't coming in here and you're dragging, falling asleep and everything else. There's some things, it's just a good thing to do. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to his name, O Most High. To sing praises, right? So I don't sing so good. Well, who are you singing for? You sing for him. Oh, well, someone might think whatever about me. None of us should remain in that bondage. That's just bondage. It's more important what he thinks than what anybody else thinks. And the reality is we're all here in the same purpose. So nobody's going to think anything about you. You know, there's an assumption people make. Other people think like they do. So if you think critical, you think everybody else is thinking critical. Well, they're not. I'm not. We come together, and it's awesome being called together to honor and give thanks and praise our God and acknowledge him. He says here, to show forth his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night upon an instrument of 10 strings. Did you ever hear a 10-string guitar? I know someone who has one. It, you know, 12-string has, it's like two sets of six strings, but a 10-string has like five bass strings on it. Is that how you've seen it? Different styles. This was more of a classical type. It was awesome. There is such thing as a 10-string guitar. There's none up here. A 10-string, play on a 10-string. And on a psaltery and upon a harp, a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad. Through your work has the Lord made you glad. What has he done for you? Well, he hasn't done much for me. Then you've forgotten you're saved. Because outside of Jesus Christ and him being the offering for your sin, every one of us would be in hell and actually deserve to go to hell. Our own works are never good enough, but he saved us from that, praise God. You have a measure of peace in your heart? It's only because of Jesus delivering us from Satan's power and bringing us in to partake of the wonderful things. He says, I will triumph in the works of your hands. Oh, Lord, how great are your works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, or neither does a fool understand this. Don't worry about if someone thinks you're a little nutty or something. Right here it says, they're not going to understand, so don't worry about it. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for him. And yourself in a sense as well, but you're doing it to honor him. He's worthy, 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 worthy of it all. When the wicked spring as the grass, when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. He's never going to fall off his throne. He's always the most high God. He is Lord. He is the authority. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. You know, when it comes to justice, God is a God of justice. We hear a lot about that nowadays. Oh, there's injustice. Well, there's always going to be injustice in the earth. That's one of those get over it kind of things. But God is a God of justice. And there are times that justice is meted out while people are on earth. And sometimes it's when they stand before him, they'll get what they deserve. But we shouldn't be focused on that. We need to just give it over to him. Now, here what I'm leading up to is verse 10. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. As we're praising and thanking him, fresh oil, fresh anointing. My horn shall be like the horn of a unicorn. Now, back then, they used the horn of an animal to put their oil in. So thus it stands, horn of oil. That's how you carried it. I laughed. When I was in India this year, we were riding across North India. It's kind of like a undeveloped area. We're on our way to the airport. And Brother Israel said, oh, there's unicorns up here. And I'm thinking to myself, no, there's not. There's not. What's he talking about? There's no, unicorns don't exist per se, as the image we have. No, there's unicorns up here in this park. So we go up through, we're driving up through, and I'm curious, I'm watching for the unicorns. And I look over and he says, yep, there it is. There's a rhinoceros. And he had that one big horn. But sometimes a word's used by people and it's sort of like an association. And really here, it's not saying there are unicorns like mythical stuff, but it was a one-horned animal. Maybe there was a rhino there. But to Brother Israel, that was a unicorn. And to me, it was a rhino. Doesn't matter. It's just a big animal. You want to stay out of his way. So he says here, my horn you'll exalt like the horn of a unicorn, a rhino, and I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of the Lord. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. Now, young and old's all relative. I was called a kid last week. Praise the Lord. But it's all relative. But, you know, some people begin to think, oh, as I'm getting older, I won't be as fruitful. That's not what the Bible says. We'll flourish, even in our older age. In fact, there should be more fruitfulness because we should be wiser and more walking with the Lord to a greater degree. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And that is speaking of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our life. And part of the work of praise and thanksgiving is that we draw on the anointing of the Holy Spirit, or to be filled, to use another expression. We want to draw upon him unto being filled. Well, when you're filled, that means when you're squeezed a little bit, that's all that's coming out. There's nothing else in there. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. We take this a little further. Ephesians 5. You know, being filled with the Spirit, something that we can experience and set ourselves to every day. A benefit of praising and thanking Him. There are benefits, and this is one of them. As Smith Wigglesworth said, and this isn't necessarily an exact quote, but it's pretty close. He was a man that worked in miracles like 80 years ago. And he said, except someone be filled with the Holy Ghost every day, they don't have what they need to face the challenges of the day. He said something like that. It was in the book Ever Increasing Faith. It's one of my favorite ones, just when I want to get like a booster. You know, sometimes people are like, maybe they're getting a little tired, and there's more work to do, and they have that extra two cups of coffee. A little pick-me-up. Well, that's a little like faith pick-me-up book. It's good to read, full of all these nuggets, just like that. He said, we can't meet the challenges of the day except we're filled with the Holy Ghost every day. And here in Ephesians 5, he says, verse 15, we'll start. It says, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Okay, be wise in how you're handling yourself. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, that doesn't mean it's like it's evil times, but it's saying there's evil in life. And therefore, we need to be very wise with our time, and as he's going to go on to say, continue to be filled with the Spirit so that we are empowered to meet the challenges that are going to come because of the evil in the world. I was thinking about this, I was just praying this week, and it had come to me. Sometimes human nature being what it is, when there's not pressure on you, you think, well, I can just ease back and just do all this leisure pleasure stuff. If you live like that, what's going to happen, you'll end up in a short time, another crisis smack you right alongside of the head, and you're not prepared for it. Plus, on top of that, we want to be proactive and bring change to this world, releasing faith and releasing the power of God by the very words we would speak, sing, and everything else, to release the power of God and bring change. But human nature, what we are prone to do is, well, there's not any trouble right now, so I can just kind of take it easy and do this and that. And you've thus guaranteed you're going to have big trouble up ahead. Because in that time where there's the lull and the storm, that's when we need to be releasing faith ahead. I don't like living crisis to crisis. I don't like living my life that way. I want to live on a plane. I'm talking about a geometric plane, not an airplane. I'm always glad to get off those airplanes. I'm talking about a geometric plane where I am on an ascending direction. That's how I want to live. Ascending, glory to glory, farther in Christ, walking in joy, walking in peace. And in order to live on that plane, we have to have a constancy with the release of our faith and speaking words of life and the very power of God. And where we cease to do that, what happens, the negativity that's all around us is going to pull you in, and negatives coming out of your mouth, and it's going to be manifest in short order because it's all around us. It's sort of like with gardening. Some of you are no doubt gardeners. Weeds are a reality. You know, and we've tried stuff, oh, this and that and the other will kill the weeds, and they still come. I mean, maybe it tames them down a little bit, but it's not long, here they come again. And the very spores, the seeds of it, it's in the mulch you get. It's in, you know, it's in the soil of the potted plant you're going to put in the ground that you just think you weed-proofed. I've done it all. You put the fabric down. The big old strong weeds will cut right through that stuff. You see, we can't just take a passive position and think, well, because I don't see any weeds right now, everything's okay. We have to be proactive and be aggressive And because evil, the days are evil. Evil is in the earth. If we're not proactive moving forward with our faith, it's going to begin to... And what happens then, the response of our mind is, oh no, here we go again. Oh no, oh no, oh no. Grumble, 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 complain, complain, complain. And then, whee, everything's nice now. And what I'm sharing with you, there's a way we need to learn to live in the habits God would have for us, one of which what we're specific looking at is being thankful and praising Him. When we praise Him, our faith is strengthened because praise is to acknowledge who the qualities of a person or what they have done. Worship's the adoration, the presenting yourself to serve. Thankfulness is identifying what was done and the appreciation of that. But praise is simply acknowledging the qualities of God. And that is an expression of faith. That's why Jesus started out and he said, pray this way, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're acknowledging the name of the Lord, the authority, character, and power of God. And this needs to become our habit. And this has nothing to do, oh, you're a preacher, you should do that. No, it's believers. You can be driving down the car. Thank you, Jesus, you saved me. Thank you, Jesus. You're Lord of my life. And you've defeated the devil and he's under my feet. And just begin to speak those things. We develop new habits, new pattern of speaking. It's sort of like learning a new language. Because man is trained in negativity and it becomes his thoughts and his language. We have to learn this new language. Maybe sell something like that. What's the thing with learning a language? Rosetta Stone, yeah. We'll do a Rosetta Stone for Christianese. It'll just be a declaration of the name of the Lord. Well, he says here, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's what a wise person does, because the will of God just brings the release of life. Don't be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We're always going to fill ourselves with something. It could be doubt and unbelief. It could be hate and bitterness and violence. It could be love. It could be words, the truth of God's word. It could be just with the very presence of the Lord. Speaking, you know, here's the how. Speaking to yourselves. It's all right to talk to yourself. You know, the world would say, well, you're nuts. But they do it too. Speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, which in studying those words out, a psalm is the word put to music. A hymn, you know the words and the music. And a spiritual song's the words and the music are by inspiration. You know, the psalm, the music's inspired, but you have the words. A hymn, you have the words and the music already. And a spiritual song by the Spirit, it's just completely spontaneous. Speak to yourself like that. Singing. Singing. Do they even still have music class in public school with little kids? They even do that? Or they just plug in something? All right, here's music. Here. You know, I thank God for the devices we have and all of that. It's awesome. It's been bettered so much over the years. and we can use these tools. I remember traveling, you know, when cargo pants came out, I thought it was the most awesome thing. Because I'd have like a tape player in one of these pockets and tapes in another and all this different stuff, a little, you know, small Bible. Man, I was loaded walking around, you know. Of course, then you go through the security, got to get it all out. But those devices were awesome because, you know, you could be hearing the word being spoken and sung to you. But the problem is, in having those devices, and it's all so easy, is you might learn it, well, you don't do it anymore. I remember once talking with Brother Ema, and they were trying to, we would haul sound system stuff over there, and the next year we'd go back and it's destroyed because they would turn it, I mean, if it could project a mile and a half, it was full throttle that the next village could hear. That's just how, and they'd blow out the speakers, and it was so dusty, and it would, you know, the connections would all get messed up. And it frustrated him to spend the money. And he remembered back in his old days, which wasn't that far back, you walked down the road and you just sang. And maybe, and he did like this, his own trumpet. I mean, he could do, you learned just to do stuff. Or as a kid, you know, you pick up a branch and you're just tapping. Some of you might remember back in the old days, you did stuff like that. You made your own music. And I can remember as a kid, you know, we'd go on a trip, my parents, and we'd be singing these, what now you think these corny songs. We were having fun. Now, in the car, you know, there's videos, there's headsets, nobody's even talking to each other. And it's a great blessing, again, having the devices and all that. But the thing is, we have to watch, we don't miss out on the very virtue of it. It's nice to listen to nice music, but people begin to think, nobody'd want to hear me. And then before you know it, you're not even doing it from the Lord. The Lord has this filtering system till your voice gets to him. Sounds good. Might not sound so good down here, but he hears the heart of it all. I remember in 1993, now I was learning to play guitar, and it's just the sole reason to worship at home, the way our sons went to bed every night. We read, we prayed, and they went to sleep, hearing her dad sing praise songs. They shared a bedroom. And I believe that ministered to them. I mean, God only knows what all actually came out of that. That's what I felt to do. I don't have a great voice or anything like that. I was a beginner guitarist. In 1993, we were down Philadelphia Street, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to minister songs to the congregation because we had some highly skilled people. And there's some people that had that desire in their heart and thought, who'd want to hear me? Because you have the highly skilled people, the highly anointed people. No one would want to hear me. So the Lord told me to do that, to be the fool for Christ, to be an example that it's about the heart. It's not about how skilled you are. And I remember doing that and stepping out. And this one brother said, you sound like Bob Dylan. And I didn't know, was that a compliment or a cut? I didn't really know. I knew who he was. I listened to him, you know, back in the 60s and that. And then I realized the reality of it was, you're not a very good singer. Because the way Bob Dylan would sing, maybe he got better over the years. I got saved. I didn't listen to that stuff. He'd tail off. I can't think of any of his songs. Like, I'm going to the store, gonna buy a box of milk. Yeah, that's not good singing. So, but anyway, I wasn't doing it to impress anyone. The Lord told me to do it because there's people that had it in them to do. And they needed to know it's the heart that matters. So we had people coming out of the woodwork singing, I mean, for quite a while there. And then, you know, I just sort of let that go. That was for a time. It was an appointed time, a season there. But the point here is that we need to learn to do this. I don't care if your voice is good. Now, you'll hear me say sometimes, if your voice isn't good, just don't sing loud. That's all. Because then you'll throw off everybody else. But sing! And for me, when I come here, we're together, but it's personal for me as well. It's me and Jesus, all my heart to him, and I'm fully expecting it to minister to him and bless him, and also to, for me to be filled, that my rhinoceros horn is going to be filled with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's what I expect every week when I come. I'd say, you know, there's times, well, I don't feel so good. Well, that's when you especially need to do it. Fill up. Fill her up, buddy. Of course, now we all have to pump our own gas. But in the old days, you'd say, fill her up, Jack. You pull up to a gas station and you want it topped off. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all. The word things is not there in the Greek. It's giving thanks always for all. All what? All the things that God's blessed you with. You don't thank God for something the devil's doing, for calamity. God's blessed us with so much, and it's really, it's plenty to keep your mind occupied. You start going down through all the blessings of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that grilled cheese sandwich, Donna. Thank you for that can of tomato soup. You pour it out into the bowl and put it in the microwave. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And that keeps, that kind of activity keeps the relationship alive because of appreciation being released. And we need all the more to be that way with the Lord, that we're never taking for granted. We're never just preoccupied with the things of this world, but realizing the creator of the heaven and the earth, he loves you. He's done everything for you. He wants to bless you. And in the practice of that, I'll just finish the point I already made. Your faith is strengthened. Your faith is strengthened. We're not just coming to sing songs. These songs that we sing are very much the Word of God, the Scriptures. And if you enter into it, there'll be a strengthening of your faith and filling your horn with oil, continuing being filled, and then we can face the evil that's all around us, the negativity. You know, we hear a word evil, you think of like the worst sins you could imagine. But just the evil, the negativity, the negative garbage. And what happens, if we're going to be a praiser and thankful, complaining's going to be gone. You can't do both at the same time. Complaining is very habit-forming. And we don't want any part of that. But to be the practitioners of a thankful heart,